Gantika, how could this be? Jedi, Ahsoka is Jedi.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a special Star Wars edition of Tales from the Jedi. My name is Alex.
And my name is Eric.
And today we're going to be covering the Disney Plus special Tales of the Jedi. And my partner here, you may know him from some of the other Star Wars stuff here at Podcastica. Eric, and how are you? This is the first time we get to podcast together.
Yeah, I know. Finally, huh?
I know. Finally is right. We had a little couple of snafus, but we are ready to go.
Ready to go.
And, you know, this is kind of a neat little slice for the fans of not only the Clone Wars, but of the traditional movies, because we've got a couple of the old, a couple of the new, and a couple of everything else. Yep. And why don't you tell me your first thoughts about when you heard about this? What did you think, and did it come up to your expectations?
I love the Clone Wars. It was so great. I think one of the big things with the Clone Wars and even this one was that they were able to go so much more into the in depth to the characters, and you start to kind of understand their motives way more. And for me, it actually makes the movies better because I feel like I know a little bit more of what's going on in their head. So from that standpoint, I thought it was great.
Absolutely. I mean, I know everybody, when they first saw the first three, you know, episode 1, 2, and 3, it was so exciting, and then it went downhill very quick. Yeah, because yeah. George Lucas doesn't realize that we don't want to see a political thriller. We want to see lightsabers and fun
Come
stuff.
On,
and unfortunately, he gave us lightsabers in the first 3 minutes, and that was the only real lightsabers we got. Yeah. But you know what I love about this series is, and for those of you that know a little bit about Tales of the Jedi, the comic is completely different than this. It's got different characters and it really isn't true to the comic, but what I believe and what I'm hoping is this is a starting point for more content. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, but when Disney had said that they were taking over the MCU and Star Wars, everybody was moaning and groaning. And I think those same people are cheering, and they're just creating so many good stories. And I just love it all. I mean, yeah. there's not a bad show out of the bunch. You know, from all the different Star Wars things, I think you've covered. I mean, have you even had a bad episode that you covered?
I mean, it's still Star Wars, and it's kind of the stuff we want to see. And I think they're hitting it out of the park. You know,
I mean, it's total fan service, and we're eating it up. I mean, it's exactly what we want to see.
I'm perfectly okay with that.
And what I find really amazing, and then we'll get into the actual show, is they kept one of the greatest secrets a secret, meaning Grogu. And it was just right in the first episode, and everybody's mouth dropped. Yeah. And it was just amazing. It was just so amazing how, you know, Dave Filoni is the keeper of the secrets of Star Wars, and he's taken his most prized character, Ahsoka, and just made her even better. Yep. Now, folks, this is my favorite character. It's my favorite actress doing the voiceover. And so if it's really sappy, it's because I just love, I've always said that the clone, No, I'm just saying, but I've always said that the Clone Wars really changed the game for Star Wars because it turned it not into movies, but a drama storytelling show as opposed to like a movie can never do it justice anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was so long. I mean, there were so many episodes that they were able to just flesh out all those characters. And, you know, I'm going to scream it from the rooftops, but it made me love the movies more.
And absolutely.
That was hard to do because absolutely. I was one of those fans that was disappointed, you know?
And, you know, and what I love is the crossover, like they have little bits, little Easter eggs in the new movies that have to do with Rebels, have to do with everything else. And that's what's so great. But we're not here to talk about the franchise. we have to actually get back to what we're here to do. And that's talk about Tales of the Jedi. And what I love about this particular, the way they laid it out, they bookended Ahsoka in between Count Dooku. Mm-hmm. And what I love about it, the first episode is called Life and Death.
Life and Death.
And, you know, what was your first take on that episode?
You know, when I saw it, I don't know if they've done something different or not. I mean, I know that time has obviously passed, but it just looked good, you know, the lighting, everything, it looked way better. I mean, I don't know if it was just my anticipation for all this, but I was kind of in awe. I was just kind of looking at everything and it was really, really cool. But, you know, starting out with Ahsoka and seeing her being born in her village, it was the perfect opening.
Well, I mean, what I love about Star Wars, and this is what Dave does so well, he knows his history. Yeah. What's the first scene in most Star Wars? You see the stars and then it pans down. And that's what we had here. And the first thing that we hear is, I believe, her father and a crying baby, which is Ahsoka. Mm-hmm. And it just talks about how life finds a way, so to speak, when you're thinking about Jurassic Park. But, you know, we start with life. Mm-hmm. And the Togruans, you know, they're a simple people, but they're not backwards people. They just choose to be simple. You know, they're droids, they have everything else. And I love, like you said, the colors were fabulous.
Yeah, the cinematography. I mean, I don't know if you call it that in an animated film, but I just felt like it just pulled you in all that much more.
Absolutely. And what I love about this particular episode is we learn more about the people that Ahsoka came from. You look at Ahsoka herself, she only has dots. Mm-hmm. So I guess she must grow into her stripes, so to speak.
Right.
You know, and they're not makeup.
Right.
It's like what she is.
Skin.
Exactly. And what I also love about the way they've been doing this new stuff is they've taken a lot of, you know, because I did a lot of research on this and they took a lot from Japanese movies.
Right.
And I mean, they did that in The Mandalorian with the Ahsoka Tana episode, the first one. And I think that they've made this like wild, wild west / Japanese tone.
Samurai type.
Samurai. Films, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing. So, you know, they what I also find very interesting is they talk about they've got the elder. I believe her name is Gentika. And, you know, she kind of blesses Ahsoka. But what I find really fascinating is we finally get to meet Ahsoka's parents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I love how they have to go on that hunt. And why don't you talk a little bit about the hunt? Because I've been doing too much of the talking.
No worries. So, yeah. So they, after her birth, they kind of fast forward to when she's a year old and her mother, Pavti, takes her out, which from my perspective seemed to be like a traditional, you know, that's what you do on their first birthday, mm-hmm. you take them out mm-hmm. and go on a hunt. And, of course, in the beginning, everything, is going smoothly. And, you know, she's Pavti's talking to Ahsoka and, you know, telling her about nature and, you know, how we're all connected to it, which is, you know, such a major theme in Star Wars, especially with the Force and all that. But then, of course, things go awry.
Absolutely. And they meet this tiger after she shoots this kind of deer thing.
Right.
They meet this saber-toothed big ass tiger. And in total Star Wars fashion, the tiger takes her away.
Right.
You know, I mean, that was a little cheesy in my eyes. It was just like, it was just too predictable. But what I find interesting is that she was force sensitive to touch that lion or tiger or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what I find interesting is her mom said, "Do you want me to carry you or do you want me to carry the beast?" And she ended up carrying the beast, but the beast ended up carrying her back to the village,
right,
which I kind of find interesting.
For sure.
And then they come to find that she is sort of a chosen one in a sense, that she's a Jedi from the Elder.
Right.
And, you know, the Jedi Order, as you well know, is not an easy life. It's almost like a cloister type life. And I think that what I find fascinating in this whole series is they talk about the pairs, you know, because you've got, you know, Ahsoka, obviously, and Anakin. But before that, we had Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon Jinn. Right. And then before that, we had Qui-Gon Jinn and Count Dooku. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Mace Windu, and of course Yoda was in there as well. So it's just interesting how this starts with Count Dooku and his thing goes all the way to Ahsoka.
Yeah.
But we're going to get to that in just a minute. But do you have any other thoughts on the first episode?
You know, it showed just another side. It went more in depth, and, you know, you get to see how when she was, you know, a child, that, you know, she looked away when, you know, her mother had killed the elk, you know, creature.
Yeah.
And she turned her head and said, "No, this is a part of, you know, this is a part of life, and death is a part of it." So I thought that was cool. And then when you see, you know, her and the tiger creature, you know, back in its den, and she shows no fear. And even as it's coming in to chomp her, he just touches its nose, and they have this bond. And I thought that just, again, added another layer, which I love.
Absolutely. And, you know, it just makes it so much easier to want to love this character even more.
Yeah, exactly.
That said, you know, then they go to the second major character, which is Dooku, but he's not Count yet, or he was. But, you know, a little backstory on him, for those of you that may or may not know, he was a Count. His family was royalty, and he broke off to become a Jedi, but he still had ties to his family, which is kind of an interesting thing because you're not supposed to have that. And we only know two Jedis that really have had that, and they both went bad. Anakin and Count Dooku.
Yeah.
But we find ourselves in this place. And if I'm not mistaken, they're asked to go to try to deal with this
kidnapping
issue. And yeah. Episode two is called Justice.
Right.
And, you know, this is really the beginning of Dooku's fall from grace.
Yep.
But, you know, he becomes more delusional and all that. Now, that being said, they go to this planet where there's a dispute and there's a hostage situation.
Yep.
And what does why don't you tell me what your thoughts about what Count Dooku did?
So, you know, they show up at this planet, and it's, you know, it's not in ruin, but the people are suffering, you know, and it's, I think, you know, one of Dooku's first, you know, visual cues that the Republic and is not protecting its people, you know, just from the very beginning, he's seeing, you know, how these people are living in misery. And he comes to find out that they had kidnapped the senator's son. And even the senator's son was pretty upset at what he saw. And he almost understood that they had to do what they had to do. And again, all of this is just fueling the frustration that Dooku is feeling that they're not living up to their part of the bargain, you know, and of what Jedis are supposed to be doing.
Well, and it's funny because the Jedi Order has always been about the Force, mm-hmm. and it hasn't always been about the Republic.
Right.
And it's kind of an interesting thing because Dooku says something, you know, I'm here for the Republic, mm-hmm. not for the senators. And the same thing happened with Obi-Wan. He had said that to Anakin when they were, you know, going at it the last time mm-hmm. on Mustafar. You know, your alliance is to the Republic. Well, no, it really isn't to the Republic. It's to doing good.
Right.
And,
doing the right thing.
You know, and I think that, you know, Dooku has always gotten a bad rap because, you know, he's just a bad guy. I mean, you right. know, but at the end of the day, even though he's ready to strike first, to coin a phrase, so to speak, he's got his reasons. Right. You know, he's a lot like Anakin in the sense where he wants the best for peace.
Right.
And he wants the right way.
Yeah. And again, I keep saying it, I feel like a broken record, but it adds more layers. And anytime you can take a bad guy and, you know, give them motivation that is real, you know, that people can go, yeah, I see that. And I might act the same way. You know, it fleshes them out more. It makes you understand their motivations, that they're just not being evil for evil's sake.
And, well, it makes the conversation in the movie with Yoda so much more powerful. Oh, it's right, like, yeah. You don't understand. This right. is the way, this is the right way. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to save everything. I'm trying to do the right thing. Now, right. one of the things that they did talk about, which I find really interesting, because they really didn't talk about Master Sifo Dyas that much. I mean, they talked about him in the Clone Wars in terms of he was the one that supposedly was engineering everything, but right. it was really Dooku. Mm-hmm. And then Dooku was the one that erased everything. And him and Sifo Dyas were buddies. I mean, they grew up together. They were students together. And mm-hmm. he ended up killing him, I think. If I'm not mistaken, he was the one that killed him. But, you know, so there, like you talk about those layers, mm-hmm. layer upon layer of this is a Pandora's box of a mess.
Right.
I mean, you know. But anyway, so they have the whole law and order. And what I find really interesting is the senator's trying to use the Jedi to do his bidding and they right. just pull back.
Yeah. You know, the people immediately assumed that the Jedi were there to serve the senator's needs. And it was cool that they, you know, they weren't. And we get to see that first, you know, glimpse of, you know, true frustration when Dooku sees what's happening and, you know, kind of takes matters into his own hand and force chokes the senator. I thought that was a really powerful moment. And he pushes Qui-Gon back to say, no, I got to do this kind of thing. And I thought it was great.
Well, and what's interesting is Qui-Gon, you know, made the effort and was smart enough to say, okay, let me get the son in there and maybe we can cool everything. And right. even Dooku said, you know, you have got a better level head than I do with these things. And, you know, one of the things as a Star Wars fan, it kind of frustrates me. It's like Jedis are never supposed to be angry.
Right.
Because that's the dark side. Right. It's like, wait, you know what? You stub your toe, you're going to be angry.
Right.
I mean, come on, guys. I mean, you can't not be angry or upset. But, you know, that's just the way that they talk about, you know, and I just find it very interesting that, you know, his Dooku's feelings kind of went to that chokehold way before anything else. And the other thing, when I was doing my research, if you notice in all the episodes that he was in, he always had his lightsaber first.
Oh, okay.
He was always the one that had his lightsaber first because he's ready for a fight.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, he proves it throughout every time we see him, but it's just kind of an interesting thing.
You know, that's what happens when you get, when you're so frustrated and you can't, you know, there's nothing you could do. You know, you see it in sports. Mm-hmm. You know, when one team is getting completely destroyed, what usually happens? Fights break out.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think Dooku is ready for a fight.
Oh, he's more than ready for a fight. And but luckily, you know, cooler heads prevailed.
Yep.
And the son hopefully got the senator to reconsider his position of starving his people.
Right. As he's, you know, as he's getting shipped away, you know, he has this sheepish look on his face. So maybe his actions, you know, were regretful. And hopefully he can fix it, but we'll see.
So then they fast forward to another Dooku episode that's called Choices.
Yep.
And this is kind of another interesting thing because now Dooku is not with Qui-Gon Jinn. He's with the good cop in Mace Windu. And it's kind of like a good cop, bad cop.
That's a good analogy for sure.
Situation. And, you know, Mace is going under the guidelines of what he's told. And Dooku is just like, listen, we're figuring this thing out.
Right.
You know, the bottom line is a Jedi has been put down and they're just trying to collect the body. But Dooku,
he suspects something more. And, you know, you see, you see both of their characters, which is, you know, pretty interesting in the very beginning that Dooku is suspicious. He, you know, he wants to find out what happened versus just following the orders of the council. Whereas, you know, Mace was by the book. This is what we're here to do. And, you know, they know better and I'm going to do it.
So right.
It's a big, you know, conflict right from the beginning.
What I find interesting is at first when I saw the Jedi that was slain, it's Master Khatri. It's the same species as Master Luminary, who was in the Clone Wars.
Right.
And it was just like, I did a double take. I'm like, wait, she died.
Yeah.
She died in a different way.
I think I did the same thing.
Yeah. It was just kind of a double take. But anyway, what I find really interesting is I love how Dooku does such a good job of investigating. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he asks the senator what happened, how did it happen? And you could tell the senator actually wasn't being very truthful. He was just kind of like,
he was hiding something.
Yeah, he was hiding something. And then I love the question that Dooku says is, well, if there was a fight, then why isn't there any blast marks anywhere?
Right.
And then all hell broke loose. And what'd you think of the little twist with the guards coming after the Jedi?
I thought that was cool. And you get to see just how, you know, how powerful both Mace and Dooku are. It almost seemed like it was effortless. You know, he pulls out his curved, you know, lightsaber, and he's
right,
blocking shots from his back. And
not even like thinking about it.
No, you're right. And Mace is jumping all over the place, you know, slashing droids. And it was pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, it was over before it started, but it was just, you know, that's the thing about the lightsaber battle between Dooku and Yoda. It was the first time we ever actually saw Yoda in action. I mean, you've always heard it, but it was just kind of neat. And the one thing about the cartoons, which I find, or the animated movie, you know, shows, yeah, is you can make those people do anything. I mean, you know, I, on a total tangent, I would love to see more Luke Skywalker stuff, but in animation, like, because they can make them jump around. Yeah, sure. I mean, I know they're doing that with the Mandalorian, but it just would be kind of neat to see that kind of stuff.
And, well, you know, that's one thing that they haven't really done. I mean, until this last Mandalorian, you know, with Luke and getting to see him be a badass. But yeah, it's just awesome.
I mean, well, the technology's there now. Right. And, you know, I just love it. But so, you know, they figure out what happened, and I love how the soldiers, again, they reinforce, because they're putting those layers onto Dooku in terms of, you know, the Senate is just bad.
Right.
And, you know, you're just doing the bidding of the Senate. And I just find that really fascinating, because the same trap that Dooku came into, Anakin came into.
Yeah.
I mean, Darth Sidious is one clever guy
for sure,
and he knows how to pull the heartstrings of some of the most powerful Jedis in Star Wars.
But even so, the, you know, there is a problem, you know, and Dooku sees it, and this is just adding more pressure, you know, more frustration to his back. You know, he talks to the guard at the end, and he says, you know, I would have done the same thing.
Right.
When your back is against the wall, you got to do something. And again, this is where Dooku is, and it's just shoveling it on.
Oh, no, I mean, absolutely. And I mean, nothing was more evident than having a surprise attack and finding out that, you know, there was something else. But not only that, it was because of them.
Yeah.
It's because of the Jedi. It's because of the status quo.
And that was huge, right? I mean, you could have an opinion about the council or the, you know, the government, but I think in Dooku's eyes, and probably a lot of the other Jedi, that they were, you know, the peacekeepers, and the people are starting to not see that way. They're starting to see how they're just puppets.
The confidence is low. And, you know, one thing that has always kind of been disturbing is, as powerful as Yoda and all these masters are, they all got blindsided by Darth Sidious and by the clones and everything else. And it just goes to show you how much puppets they really were. But I still don't understand how he put the wool over Yoda's eyes, but that's a story for another time. But it's just kind of an interesting thing. It's like, what the hell? So, you know, Count Dooku goes through his transformation, and now we know about that. And then the last two episodes have to be, without a doubt, I mean, this next episode is my favorite of all of them. And, you know, when it comes to learning how a Jedi becomes a Jedi, nothing is greater than seeing the trials.
Yeah.
And that's, sure, and that's what we get to see, but we get to see, this is early on in the relationship between Anakin and, Ahsoka, because they're still in that Clone Wars movie period, I think. Mm-hmm. And of course he comes late, and Obi-Wan gives him the, well, I thought I was, you know, you're on time. And he's like, I thought I was late. Exactly. and they show the trial.
Yep.
I forget. Oh, Master Deep. I always say it wrong. What is his name? The older gentleman. I love his lightsaber. It's in the cane.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, he does the trial. I should say Ahsoka does the trial. What's very interesting is there's a certain Padawan watching.
A little Easter egg, for
little
sure.
Easter egg. You had Kanan
from Rebels.
From Rebels, which I find kind of funny because he was also that in Bad Batch. But when he meets Ahsoka in Rebels, they don't like know each other.
Right.
Which is kind of an interesting thing, but hey, you know, you can't have
everything. I mean, I think there's all kinds of, you know, explanations, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the episodes where he escaped, you know, was pretty damn traumatic. You know, he had to see his master die and he had to run away. And yeah, who knows? I mean, maybe that's all, you know, down in his subconscious or something.
Absolutely. No. I mean, I'm nitpicking, but you have to. But sure. But that said, she has the conversation with Anakin and he's like, well, do you want a real test? And of course, she's like, hell yeah.
Of course, bring it on.
Bring it on. And, you know, the stormtroopers and clones are two completely separate things. And they've said that, you know, I mean, even the clones have said, we're not stormtroopers. We're clones. We can shoot stuff. And, you know, so they get them all in a circle in one of the bays. And she has to defend herself. And she only has one lightsaber at the time. And it's just like classic Anakin where she just gets knocked out. And this is going on for God knows how long, right?
Yeah, yeah, because we see the clone helmets. We see there were different phases and that, you know, indicates years.
But, yeah, and they had no markings on them. They were the first generation. Mm-hmm. And then I guess she must have been practicing without him. And I love, oh my God, I think they get her and I forget who it was. They're like, sorry, Commander.
Yeah, one of the Bad Batch.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the Bad Batch guys. but no, then she's got the two lightsabers, which she's used to, which we're used to seeing, and she's just killing it.
But you know, we see this cool side of Anakin and how he really wanted to prepare his, you know, Padawan Ahsoka, that fighting against droids isn't going to cut it, you know.
Right.
And you know, I think even Han Solo, you know, fighting against the droid is one thing, but fighting against the living is.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, droids are easy.
Yeah.
Droids are easy, but, you know, clones or people are unpredictable.
Yep.
And, you know, he was trying to prepare her, I think, for the fight that they were going to have.
Yeah.
And I know that might not have actually, that's what they thought, but I think that that's the, that was the intention.
Sure.
And I mean, I think he even said, you know, you did really well, but you didn't fight me, or I forget exactly what he said.
Right.
But basically that's what he was saying is,
but he was truly preparing her for, you know, combat. You know, it's like, you know, doing it in a simulation, but when you have Rex and his crew blasting you, it brings a whole nother level, and just, it raises Ahsoka a whole nother level. It really shows how far she's come and how much of a badass she is.
And I think that, you know, Anakin has proven that his troopers are very loyal to him and to Ahsoka. And also they're a different breed because he expects more from them. I think a lot of the Jedi's, you know, they like their clones, but I think Anakin and Ahsoka treated them like equals.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it shows just how, you know, when you put trust in somebody like that, that they,
right,
you know, they perform,
they respond. And that's why I really firmly believe that it makes the continuity of everything so much nicer,
mm-hmm.
with all the different products.
Right.
And the last scene of that episode is probably one of the most heartbreaking because it took me a minute to figure out what it was, but it was the end of season 7, where after Order 66 was done, it's her and Rex going into the lion's den, and they never showed that conversation before, but they showed what happened after, which is they just teared up shit. but you know, it was just kind of a nice moment because her and Rex have gone through hell and back together.
Right.
And you know, there's just a lot of,
yeah. When you get to see, you know, some of those things that were on, you know, that you questioned, like how did she get out or how did she survive? And it just gives you a little glimpse that, you know, she had some help and yeah.
It was again, just, it was cool. So heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Yet it was so satisfying.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and then we go to the last of the episodes, and this is kind of an interesting one because they go at the death of Padme. That's where they start. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is she still has the belly. So they want to show that she lost the babies.
Right.
And Ahsoka is there in this, you know, and then she just disappears. But then she has an interesting conversation with our favorite senator. and why don't you talk, what was your take on all that?
Yeah, as she's walking away, Bail Organa sees her. Actually, he sees her in the crowd and runs after her to talk to her. And, you know, it's the beginning, you know, I think he was planting the seeds that, you know, that I'm here to help and we're going to need you, you know, kind of thing. Well,
what's interesting also was, you know, right now they're covering Andor, right. And you know, I don't know if you've watched it at all. I mean, I'm watching it.
Yes, I haven't watched the last episode.
No, that's fine. Okay. But my point being is, it's such a great political drama, and one of the characters, which has been kind of a character that we didn't know much about that we're learning a lot about, which is Mon Mothma. She was there as well. And, you know, it just goes to show you that these rebels they just didn't decide overnight, we're going to become rebels. Right, I mean, this is a process that has been taking a long time. And there's a lot of planning that has gone into it. And I have to say, on a complete side note, I was not looking forward to Andor at all. And it has been a pleasant surprise. Yeah. I mean, I don't like everything about it, but it's just an interesting.
It's from a different perspective, and I think that's cool. But with this episode.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
No worries. But it builds, we see, from the people's perspective, you know, that there's a young boy who is gung-ho empire and, you know, his parents, they're all farmers and Ahsoka is on this farm, you know, hiding out. And we see that, you know, they embraced the empire in the beginning because they were so disillusioned. But now that they're seeing, you know, what the empire is all about, that they made the wrong choice.
Well, and it's like any dictatorship. I mean, if you look at, you know, the Italians during World War II, I mean, it didn't work out too well for them. It didn't work out too well for a lot of different people. Right. And you know, I always go back to Empire Strikes Back when, Lando Calrissian is with Darth Vader and he keeps changing the agreement and he's like, what is going on here? And but that's kind of just the way the Empire does its business. They take until they can't take anymore.
Yep.
And so Ahsoka kind of reveals herself by using the Force. And it's kind of funny how all the Jedi's in hiding are all farmers. Or in Obi-Wan, he did the same type of thing. But
easy place to hide, I guess.
Yeah, easy place to hide. But, you know, it's interesting because she showed her true colors, so to speak. People saw it. And what I love about this is the Inquisitor that comes doesn't realize who he's messing with.
Right, right.
And, you know,
yeah, he's probably used to rolling into these, you know, cities and just doing whatever he wants and kicking everyone's ass. But now he's facing
or dealing with Jedis that aren't really Jedis.
Right, right, right.
You know, young, like, you know, younglings or whatever.
Right, right.
And I mean, this is a person that took down Darth Maul.
Right.
You know, I mean, this is not some, you know, some chump, and she just destroys him.
it was another just show of her badassery.
Exactly. You know, if that's not a word, it should be.
he thinks that he's just gonna wipe the floor with her, and she defeats him without even pulling her own lightsaber.
But what I love is, you know, Clancy Brown, you might know him from Shawshank Redemption. He was the bad guard. I mean, he plays the best. I mean, he has the best voice for a bad guy.
Gosh. Yeah.
And he's just perfect for this. And then the cape with the Imperial. Oh, it was just, it was perfect.
Backdrop by flame. It was
my God. But yeah, no, I mean, I just think that they did such a great job. And I love at the end how she does end up contacting Bail Organa, and he comes and he takes all those people, and they're part of the rebellion.
Yep.
And what's interesting about this rebellion is it didn't build overnight. It built by literally building a house, you know, each brick by brick by brick. And that's what I love what they're doing right now with all these different stories, is they're just creating an unbelievable house.
Yep.
With the glue of what we like to call the heartstrings of Star Wars fans. That's the right. That's the cement.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, on the whole, I loved it. I mean, if you couldn't tell that already, but, and I think you're along the same lines,
absolutely.
But you know, what's your takeaway from all this?
You know, it was great. You know, I can't wait to see more. And, you know, every time one of these new series comes out, we get to see new stuff. We get to see moments that either were skipped over or missed, you know, whether it be in the trilogy or whatnot. And like you said, it's the glue filling in all these different, spaces and making it stronger. And, you know, showing Ahsoka and you know, delving more into her character, and even Dooku,
think you'd even like Dooku before this?
No, not at all.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, they didn't give us anything. You know, he was an evil guy.
Yeah.
And now we understand, you know,
right?
Just like we did in Clone Wars with Anakin. You know, we got to see why. You know, why it happened, and more of the how, and it's understandable. And I think that's what's so cool, is that, you know, all of us, you know, can put ourselves in these kind of situations and say, you know, would I act that way? And a lot of times it's yes.
Well, and it just goes to show you, everything is perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line, is it's all perspective. You know, we talk about on this, you know, Jason always talks about Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. Well, what's the difference between our group versus Negan, for instance, or the Commonwealth? Well, if we started out with Negan, we would be like, this Rick guy is a jerk. Let's just kill him, or vice versa. And,
right.
You know, or like in Andor, they're making such a good case for the Empire in terms of it being like a war machine, and they just have their rules.
Right.
And, you know, these upstarts are stealing stuff. And I think that's what it's all about, is the winners write the history, but it's also the perspective that we're looking at. And we've only looked at the side of the rebels,
right?
Which is great, because who doesn't want to be part of the rebels?
Right.
But, you know, I just think that I can't wait for them to do a season two. I know there's a thirsting for more Knights of the Republic type stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I really hope that the powers that be are going to start making more and more things canon, because they're, you know, growing up, there was a ton of books and audio and all sorts of stuff that is considered non-canon now. And hopefully they can kind of bring that back in.
I think that, you know, they're showing us that they are, you know, little bits and pieces here and there that are coming in. And it's just, it's a good time to be a Star Wars fan.
It's a great time. And it's a great time to just be a person that loves good drama, good space stuff. And it's great to just see characters that we love just get a second, third, fourth life.
Yep.
I want to thank you so much.
Oh, Eric, no worries. It was awesome.
For letting me, let me podcast with you. I know it took us a hot minute between, you know, trying to get schedules together, but, we did it finally. And I just wanted to tell the listeners, if you could, if you like the podcast and you like any of the, Podcastica shows, just hit that subscribe button. And if you really like it, give us 5 stars. And, if you have any comments on this or any of the other shows that we're doing, you can always either leave feedback, on podcastica.com. And
you know, they're doing a ton of shows, you know,
What are you watching right now? What are you watching?
Let's see. What are we watching? Andor, of course, we're watching Andor, Handmaid's Tale. I know they're doing a Handmaid's Tale one. I think Jason is also doing Dead to Me.
Right.
Revisiting that.
Show. I mean, they're gearing up. Yeah, they're gearing up. I mean, they just finished Dragons and, you know, we're coming out with, my podcast partner. We do that show From by Epix. So we have a couple of interviews coming and, it's just a great time to be a watcher of good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean,
with golden age of television, right?
No, it's just like the problem is you just don't have enough time.
I know.
And it's like a full-time job. But, you know, next week, I know they're going to be continuing with Andor. It seems like I thought it was like only a couple of episodes, but it's been going on for a while. And I can't wait to see what ends up happening. So hopefully you get a chance to check that episode out soon because it's really getting good.
Awesome.
It's just really getting good. And there's a couple of twists and turns in it that you're like, okay, nice. Nothing bad. It's just interesting how they're doing that. But anyway, that's our show.
Yeah,
and thanks for listening. And I guess may the force be with us all.
There you go. Thank you guys. It was fun.